we've been suffering from the same thing actually that the whole media industry does. We have a lot more readers, male, as in male readers, than female readers, and we felt, we colleagues felt, that women were not represented enough in our newspaper. Not as authors of stories or of editorials, commentaries, and also not as protagonists. So we really wanted to change that, and obviously want to change that in our big newspaper too. But what we felt was, we create a magazine like this one, that has the subtitle is Women Change Business, or Women Change the Economy, Frauen verändern Wirtschaft. And that's actually intended to give a lot of room to women who are not talked about, or who don't get enough space in the newspaper, in the regular newspaper at times, because there's so many experts, there's so many interesting women, protagonists, founders, people from all different walks of life, who have really interesting things to say, but all major studies say, you know, that on the front page of newspapers, 80% of all people quoted are men. So we wanted to make a difference and founded this magazine, and so that it's not a boring magazine. We had this concept that every magazine revolves around a certain topic. So we had magazines on power, we had magazines, a magazine on money, this one's on innovation. The next one that will come out in December is actually on neuroscience, you know, what's going on in our heads. So we look for women who are interesting and people to talk to who are interesting around a certain subject, and that's the concept of our magazine, and actually we just won a prize for it for innovation of the year 2015. But actually what I really wanted to talk about today is one of the major topics of your conference, science, knowledge, power. And I wanted to talk about the power part. Because, yeah, it's always been said, and also there's book titles, I remember that from studying political science. Actually, I'm a political scientist, no engineer. There's a book title, Knowledge is Power. But the point is, sometimes knowledge is not enough to be powerful. You know, sometimes power is just power. And that's basically what I want to talk about tonight, because you're all trained as scientists. You are just very accomplished women, and you are sort of trained to find that, you know, there's a solution for every problem. You just have to work hard enough, you have to study hard enough, you'll find the solution, you have to try again and again. But sometimes, if it's about power, you're not getting anywhere. And why is that? And then there's typical female reactions are like, well, you know, actually, I don't care. You know, all these power struggles. I don't want to be part of this. You know, I don't, you know, I just don't want to join in that board meeting or whatever conference you're attending. And I really want to encourage you, and actually Plan W, Plan V, is meant to encourage women that it's very important to grab for power if you can, you know, if it's offered to you, and if it's not offered to you, to look for power. Because to empower women is just crucial for not only the world economy, but for the well-being of the world. And I will give you 10 reasons you should really think differently about power if you are one of these women, and I can relate to that, which just normally feels, well, you know, power struggles, that's not for me. Reason number one is actually, it's an issue of global growth. The McKinsey Global Institute, they calculated in 2015, if women and men were treated equally in the workplace, in the economy, if they had all the same access to the economy, that would contribute to the world economy $28 trillion. 28 billionen dollar. No, don't mix up in German and in English, that's trillion, millions, whatever. Trillion, $28 trillion, 28 billion, 28 billion. You don't have to remember that until 2025, within 10 years. You don't have to remember that number, but maybe if you want to remember one thing, it's that that's the current economies of the United States and China combined. So women, if you empower women as much as men are empowered economically, women can contribute to the world economy, the size of the economies of China and the US combined. Yeah, and why do actually banks like to invest so much in women? For example, the Inter-American Development Bank, a manager of them, they told me once, you know, if you invest in a woman, it pays off six or seven times as much if you invest in a man, actually, because women invest their money in the education of their children. Women invest their money in their children. So it's really, it's an issue of global growth to empower women and to support women, because they'll invest in their children, they'll get a better education, and the world economy will grow. And I guess with all the problems we are facing, we really need that growth. Second reason why you should be really interested in empowering women is actually a very serious one, and it's the topic of violence. Violence against women. I attended a conference, a W20 conference in London this year, and the participants there, they made a big issue out of this. It was an economic conference, a business conference, violence against women. I felt, well, really, violence against women? Why is that an economic topic? And I talked to Professor Linda Scott from Site Business School in Oxford, and she said, yes, of course it is, because it's opportunity costs. And if you look at this, every third woman on this planet is one time, at least once in her life, a victim of domestic violence by their partners, by ex-partners, whatever. Actually, it's a leading cause of unnatural death among women, and not only in some faraway countries where you would suspect it, but also in countries like the United States, is being killed by your partner, your boyfriend, your ex-boyfriend, your ex-husband, whatever. So it's a very serious, topic, and the opportunity costs are that it discourages fear of your partner, of your family, whatever, discourages women from going to work, from sending their girls, their daughters to school, from engaging in all kinds of economic activities, founding businesses, whatever, you know, studying engineering, because they are afraid that it doesn't go well with their family members. So that is very important to really end violence against women, and that's something that, yeah, we all can contribute to. Another part of violence that's not that often talked about is that actually still the issue of abortion of female fetuses is a very big problem all around Asia, and not only in, you know, as I said, some faraway countries, because it's still that boys are valued more than girls, sons are valued more than daughters. If all those girls would have been born, we would have a different situation today in many countries, and it's all women, girls not being born. They don't contribute to the economy, and they can't raise families, and yeah, that's just also an economic issue. Third reason, you don't have power actually without money. So women need access to finances, but in many parts of the world, women don't really get enough access to finances. In the developed economies, they don't own as many shares and assets as men do. And also, they have a hard time getting venture capital. I mean, there's lots of reports being made that it's really hard for women to get access to venture capital, even bank loans, regular bank loans. It's obviously even worse in developing countries, where women are very often not allowed to engage in financial marketplaces. And also, in this world, 2.4 billion people don't have formal identification. That's what I learned the other day. And formal identification is actually something that you really need, for example, to gauge if you want to buy something via the internet, you need some sort of formal identification. And most of these 2.4 billion people are women, actually. So it's really a problem if women are not empowered. particularly in a time where incomes from assets is growing and the importance of income from assets is growing and income from work is shrinking. And also, there are good reasons to empower women on the financial marketplace, because actually women are pretty good with money. I mean, that's the reason why there's microcredits given basically to women, because they pay back, you know, much better than men. So that's why in developing countries, microcredits usually are handed out to women. Reason number four, it's really important to empower women, and it's another area where women really lack the power, and I mean, you're very familiar with that, obviously, is the digital world. And it is still a men's world, and it was said earlier that actually jobs in the IT business have even lost attractiveness to women just because of this Silicon Valley sort of male culture. And it's not a problem of Silicon Valley. I mean, the percentage of female founders in the IT sector in Germany is at 13% right now. It's a little higher in the US, I think. And it's I don't know if it's anywhere more than 20%, but that's still not even enough. So I learned today that it's also 13% of engineers, so that's a number that sort of stick to me, because it's very little. So, you know, if there's less female founders, the chances are that less women will end up as billionaires, which is, really a problem. And I attended a conference at the DIW, Deutsches Institut für Wirtschaftsforschung, this year, and Markus Brabka, he's one of the directors there, and he said that actually men will profit more from digitization than women will, because they own assets, they're holding more leadership positions, and so they'll profit more than women, because, as I said before, the importance of income from your own hands work will actually drop in the digital world, and there will be very few winners and many losers if you don't pay attention, and that's most likely will be more men than women. And if you want to look at, you know, the other end of the scale also, there's lots to be done to really bridge the digital gap, the digital divide. For example, in Africa, only 12% of African women are even online. So there's a lot of things to do to really improve that situation. And the fifth reason is, and that's very much connected to the digital world, do we actually, if we have just such a monoculture in Silicon Valley, do we really have the right products? In our Plan W issue, this is on innovation, I interviewed Nilofer Merchant. She's a great woman. She's a former Apple manager. Now she teaches at Stanford. She gives speeches. She writes a book. She's a brilliant thinker. And well, she told me that actually in Silicon Valley, there's a lot of talk that, you know, they want to improve the world and they want to make products for a better world. But she said more and more they're just developing products for the privileged. I mean, she said, you know, if I see another delivery app for food, you know, I'll go crazy, because that's just problems these guys have when they leave their homes and their parents, and you know, they want to solve the problems they have now that their mothers are not there for them any longer. And that's what she said, and I found that funny, but there's some truth to it. So you need really diversity to be innovative. And I mean, there's tons of studies out there. You might have seen them all, like the McKinsey study or Credit Suisse, or all these studies that say you need diversity and that improves your bottom line in the company. If you have diverse boards, you get more ideas. Yeah, does anybody listen to it? Yeah, that's really the point where you really say, okay, we have to grab power, because nothing will change if we don't try to change, if we don't try to get in there. Yeah, the sixth reason is that you all know that women start to be better educated than men in many areas. They have outperformed in many areas men with college degrees in the Latin American countries. In the US, there's more women, female graduates than male graduates. Even here, girls do better in school. There's tons of numbers on there. And so if we don't put all these women to work, that all goes to waste. So that's a bad investment, isn't it? All this knowledge, and that's what I said before, knowledge is power. Well, knowledge is there, but where's the power? You know, you have to make that link between knowledge and power to get the power. Very important point, number 7, is the whole issue of care. I mean, 13% of, three quarters of unpaid work worldwide is done by women. There's estimates that this is 13% of global gross domestic product, but actually, that's what also Professor Scott from Oxford said, actually, nobody has ever run the numbers on this. I mean, nobody doesn't even care, you know? It's just women are working unpaid work in the care business. They take care of their children, as some of you do, I've seen that. They take care of parents, of aging parents or other relatives, and it's not even, you know, there's not even numbers out there. Nobody assesses that. And there's a very good book by Anne-Marie Slaughter, who's running New America, that's a think tank, and she was a former, she was working at the State Department with Hillary Clinton before, and she got famous when she quit her job, actually, with Hillary Clinton, and then she wrote this big essay in The Atlantic that was the most ever read essay in The Atlantic, Why Women Still Can't Have It All. And actually, for that essay, she got a lot of criticism because many women and men wrote her, well, nobody can have it all. No, nobody can have it all. So she thought about this a little more, and she came up with this whole issue of that we need a culture of care. And she wrote a book on this. It's called Unfinished Business. In German, it's, I forgot, Unfinished Business, was noch zu tun ist, oder was noch zu tun wäre, women, men, work, family. And she really discusses capitalism, and that actually capitalism has always been looked at on the one side of capitalism, has been looked at the competition side. But there's a whole other part, the care part, that hasn't been looked at in our economy, and that it's really important to look at it. And that's a huge area that has to be addressed, and that has to be addressed by people who are in power. And I guess it's very more likely that women address this whole topic, because they are so much involved in care. And if they don't, they should encourage men to do it, because it's really something that's crucial for our societies, particularly aging societies. I mean, many of us are from aging societies, Germany in particular. The reason number 8 I found, and I addressed this before, is actually that facts are losing so much value these times, and that's really tough, and that's particularly disappointing and discouraging for you who are working in science, where facts are everything. And then you can see something like, as I said, the American election campaign, where people are going into emotion and they don't like facts. And it's funny that Hillary Clinton is actually the best prepared presidential candidate ever, because Secretary of State, and she's been in the government. She's all kinds of experience, and experience isn't valued any longer. I mean, we can see that with lots of political movements all over Europe too, that experience doesn't count any longer. And I think, actually, women are very much into facts, from my experience. They're a lot into good work, doing work, are really doing good work, being busy. And really, women should bring facts back into the debate. I think it's really very important. And I had the chance to talk to Iris Bonnet. She's from Switzerland, but she's a professor at Harvard these days. And she told me, and she said to me, everything is better than gut feeling. And she wrote a book on all these stereotypes that Tina Müller addressed before. We are driven by stereotypes, but we can actually do something against it. We can actually sort of try to reboot our stereotypes. She wrote a book, What Works, Equality by Design. She's very optimistic about that. Women should bring facts back into the discussion and reason. Yeah, reason number 9, why you should really be very interested in the empowerment of women and in your own empowerment, if I can put it that way, is that your daughters and your sons deserve it. I mean, women should have economic power, because if they don't, they very much end up being in poverty. Destitute in old age, they're single moms who don't have enough money, don't have enough income, so that's one of the major reasons kids are in poverty. So it's actually good for your kids if you have power, and obviously you're also a role model. That's also very good for your kids. So you should try to be powerful, grab for power. And also it's good for men, because they can profit. I mean, it's not always easy for men to be looked at as, you know, the only breadwinner, and, you know, he has to go out of the house all the time and bring home the bacon, whatever you can call it. Because men have this other side in them as well. You know, they have the caring side in them as well. And so it's very good for your men if you get powerful. Also, female professions will be in high demand when we face much more robots in the workplace and artificial intelligence, because women are just much more into the empathy and into the care work, and that will be very important, very very important industries actually in the future. So it's very important that women are empowered. Isn't the last reason, or the one but last reason, is actually you should have power because some of those who don't have power, they just don't deserve it at all, you know? So why don't you have power? Because you deserve it. So let me sum it up a little bit, because it's not that easy, obviously, you know? You can try to get behind those stereotypes, which is probably one of the most important things to do. You can study hard, you can connect, you can really do something that you did today, you know, you found something new to be together and to be in it together. Because really, some of it that is obviously that those who have power today, they just don't want to give it up. That's one thing. That's also sexism, that's competition. We all know this. Some of it is stereotypes, that's unconscious. But we can go beyond it if we want it. So we really have to get leadership behind it. That's very important. That's also in our newspaper. We've been a very male-dominated industry, in particular daily newspapers are. But you know, if we have leadership, like my editors-in-chief, who really consciously made a project out of supporting women, and only then it works. If the number ones and twos in the company really support it, you can do this. So power, as I said before, sometimes it has a bad reputation because it's connected with abuse of power, you know. But you should think about it positive. In German, power is very much connotated with abuse, and Macht has a very negative connotation. And I always try to think of it, to look at more the English word power, that's more, implies more something like energy, you know. You have energy to do something and to change. And you need that energy, because only if you have power, you can change power structures. And only if you have power, you can help making the world a better place. And that's what we should all aspire to, isn't it? Thank you so much.
We think that we are, well, of good knowledge as scientists and engineers. And looking at the relationship between knowledge and power, we know that this is not always an analogy. But what we always had, 10 years ago we had the 20 years dip, and we reflected the relationship between media and power, saying that to change the stereotypes, we would need the support of media to have an engineer's soap, at least, to change the stereotypes of women in engineering and technology. So your support is much appreciated. And I guess we will have some questions from the audience on how the media can support that stereotype change.
Thank you.
before we have questions, I can say something about this, because actually I attended a conference of media women in Brussels last week, and it's actually the situation is in a very sorry, it's a very sorry state, because people in media companies have prejudices and stereotypes as well. So it's for us, it's very hard to get beyond those. And it's not just, you know, the guys, like the two guys that are in the front row. No, it's just women have stereotypes too, you know? I mean, it's there's lots of female assistants who don't want to have a female boss. I mean, that's just because stereotypes. And so that's why movies are made with stereotypes and, yeah, because they're just transport stereotypes. But any questions you might have?
Hungry, probably, if you've joined us.
Food is power, right? I saw that before. Pastries are power. When you all piled up your pastries here.
Thank you, Silvia. Thank you, the great speaker. You are full of energy. You are powerful. I am Rufina from Senegal. I am so from Senegal, Africa, West Africa. I am so surprised to hear about violence in Europe. I think that it is only in our African countries, but you tell soon that here you are domestic violence as our country. It is what I ask Europe, in US Europe, to work together with networking with Africa, because Europe is the door of Africa, and Africa is the door of Europe. And geographically, in the field of history, Africa and Europe are very close. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Unfortunately, it is a real problem. I mean, it's not as obvious as it's in many African countries or in many Asian countries, but actually this summer, I was heading the news desk one Sunday, and there was one week where there was, you know, reports of four women independently, all different parts of Germany, being killed by their ex-partners and ex-boyfriends and whatever. And I said, okay, let's do a story on this. It was probably because it was summer that it was reported so much, because I found out the statistics say that's quite normal, actually, that we have three cases like this during the week, you know? And that's very sad. I mean, even in Germany and in the US, I mean, if you immerse yourself in these numbers, it's tragic, actually, but it's not that much talked about. I think for us, it's always, oh, it's, you know, it's in Africa, it's happening in Asia, it's happening somewhere, but not here, but that's not true. I mean, it's, the extent is probably different, but it's still a major problem everywhere in the world.
Thank you. I'm Sarah from Tunisia.
Yeah.
About what she just said, I think it's the power of Africans, as Tunisia is in North Africa, that we talk about it, actually. And again, back to the stereotype on media, that they don't talk about it, like in Germany. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's power that we face it and we know it.
So women have to talk about it, and men have to
exactly
talk about it too, obviously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. Thank you.